Welcome back, everybody, to Trot Radio's Look Back at 2012 Racing at the Crossroads. I'm Norm Borg. Meantime, Ontario wasn't the only province being savaged by government cutbacks. In New Brunswick and Saskatchewan, government support for harness racing was pretty much coming to an end. Glenn LeDrew is president of the Saskatchewan Harness Horsemen's Association.
Harness racing here in Saskatchewan, Norm, really has been on the upswing in the last several years. In fact, in six of the last 7 years, we've wagered more than the year before. So things were going really well on the harness racing side here.
In New Brunswick, Jeff Malloy is the executive director of Horse Racing New Brunswick.
We had signed agreement with the government in 2009 for a five-year commitment on allocating some video lottery terminals to support the industry. Up to this point in time, we haven't deployed all the allocated machines, but we also had an agreement with the government that for the machines we didn't have under our control, we'd get a top-up funding up to $1 million. And of that million, we were receiving about $600,000. The agreement was set to end in March of 2014, and unfortunately this government turned the dial up a little bit and said that it is only going to be good until the end of March 2013.
March 2013 sounds familiar. The coincidence has not gone unnoticed. Many wonder whether the respective provincial governments took their cue from Ontario. Its government, meantime, was driving on with its plans to supposedly modernize its gaming. They did so with deadly quickness, announcing the immediate closing of slots operations at historic Fort Erie Racetrack, Windsor Raceway, which has since closed, and Hiawatha in Sarnia. Jim Henderson, owner of the Sarnia track, like so many of us, at a loss to explain why.
How do you close a $30 million profit business with the OLG and us getting our $3 million in 30 days? Hey, Rod Phillips was here just a few months back and saying we asked him about the two sites in Sarnia, and he was said as keeping business as they had planned, and they know he never told us that they were even looking at this, and I guess this has been planning I don't know how many months before this.
Things started happening very quickly. The industry retained Stan Sadinsky as part of a task force which would present a framework for the industry going forward. Sadinsky penned a previous report on ways to grow horse racing just a couple of years earlier. He called for more centralization of things like marketing and race scheduling, ideas that were not well received at the time, but now, according to task force member and CEO of Western Fair District, Hugh Mitchell, things have changed.
Well, I think because the circumstances are different, Norm. Right now, we're in the 12th round, and we're on one knee. We, as an industry, hopefully have matured to the point where we will accept change. Back in 2008 or 2009, when this report came out, we were still trucking on with 20% of the gross net win coming to the racing industry at our racetrack slot program. I mean, there was no real incentive, frankly, for change, because we were all doing reasonably well. Today, that's different. The racetrack slot program is over in less than a year. And so I think the circumstances around the willingness of the industry to accept some new model are dramatically changed.
Meantime, the government struck its own committee, the El-Mafra Committee, as it was called. They would gather information from stakeholders in racing. And remarkably, when all was said and done, many of Sadinsky's recommendations were embraced by this committee, which now takes its case to the government. Former PC Minister John Snowblin, himself an equine sport participant, was on that committee. His visit to Trot Radio was met with some blunt questions. You were in cabinet when Premier Mike Harris initiated the Slots at Racetracks program, correct?
All those many years ago, yes, I was.
If you were premier at the time, would you have done the same thing?
You know, I... Well, let's go to a hard question. You'll know that cabinet ministers don't discuss what happens in cabinet and don't discuss their opinions that they may have expressed at the cabinet table. I'll tell you, I had reservations at the time. The racing industry needed a lifeline for sure. The problem with tying the funding of racing with slots, I think, could be foreseen at that time, which is you're tying to something that they really don't have any influence over.
And that issue of weaning off the slots and becoming more self-sustaining is a question that's been buried under the rug for all the years that the SART program has been in existence. It's a question that racing now must deal with, only deal with it under duress. OMAFRA called for, among other things, fewer race dates, purse cutbacks, centralized marketing, perhaps even a centralized race secretariat. It envisions a league or alliance of tracks that will complement, not overlap each other in matters of scheduling, race times, and dates. More intriguing wagering opportunities were also recommended, but even that's something that may not sit well with the current provincial government. After all, when those that govern your business are also your competitors, are they really in a hurry to see you prosper? Paul Godfrey, head of OLG, has already rejected one of the suggestions to allow tracks to conduct sports books or single sports wagering as a way to offset slots losses. And so it goes. So where does this leave racing? Well, many will say we're at the mercy of the provincial government that has gone out of its way to destroy us. They portray racing people as rich tycoons, taking from the public trough rather than contributing to healthcare and education. Yet OLG still seems interested in keeping perhaps some of their expanding casinos on the grounds at racetracks. They just don't want to pay a cut, a simple landlord-tenant lease. Thank you very much. This led to a spirited interview with ORIA President Sue Leslie over when do we as an industry take the gloves off in our fight with the government.
The industry really has only one card, and that is the slots in our racetracks, some of our racetracks.
So when are we going to show them the door?
Well, that unfortunately is going to be, whether we like it or not, in the hands of the racetrack. ORIA has no ability to force a racetrack to close a slot or open a slot or to run a live race or not run a live race.
Well, I think now is the right time for racetracks to say, quit mucking about, OLG. We've had enough of your nonsense. You're either going to be a partner or you're not. If you're not going to be a partner, get the hell off our racetracks. You're not doing us any good anyway.
Well, I think we're very close to that, Norm, because here's the thing. From the panel's point of view, they have accomplished three things on behalf of the industry. The first thing is they have identified that the industry cannot survive in paramutual wagering. And when this thing started out, the government thought we would shrink, but they thought we could have a robust horse racing industry just on paramutual. The panel has got the government to agree, okay? Mm-hmm. They say in their report, no jurisdiction they checked into operated horse racing based just on paramutual alone. Point two, the government, as you know, was totally unwilling to sit down with the industry and negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
The panel now has agreement from the government to sit in the room with horse racing and negotiate. The third thing is the panel was given $50 million over 3 years to transition the industry. The panel is now telling us that they have secured a substantial amount of money, and granted, we don't know what that number is. Which
they won't say.
Greatly,
mm-hmm.
But they say they have secured a substantial amount of money.
How much money, we've yet to find out. And at the time of this recording, the government has yet to announce their action plan based on the OMAFRA recommendations, so we wait. Race dates for the new year have yet to be set. Purse amounts, who knows? Just that they will be less is what we do know. And that's a cloud under which our beautiful sport and the great people that work in this industry face in the new year. But face it, we will. Horse racing's people are the most resilient, hardworking, never-say-die group of individuals you will ever come across. Don't leave us off the ticket just yet. On behalf of all of us at Trot Radio, we wish you the best for the holiday season and a happy new year.